We're going to be dealing with particular verses 9 through 13 for the main body of the text this evening. As we talk about a lesson, I believe that will be very helpful to us as we go through life, as we live life in general, and as we live life to be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. I'm going to be talking tonight about a wreck that occurred on the sea. And it occurred because of some things that happened that didn't have to happen. So, as we look at Acts chapter 27, and even if you look at verse number 1, you'll find that Paul was in a ship along with other prisoners and other people that were on his way to Rome. Paul had appealed to Caesar, and he had to get to Rome so that he could stand before Caesar. There was a centurion, a captain, who was in charge of the prisoners that were being transported in the ship by the name of Julius. But as the story unfolds, we're going to see that Julius, the centurion, made some major mistakes, which would eventually cause great problems along the way. Again, these problems never would have occurred, not with this ship, if these mistakes had not been made. So we're talking tonight then about lessons that we can learn from this wreck that happened that didn't have to happen. The mistakes that this centurion made are typical of so many people today in life who experience problems in their lives because of their own doings. And you know, with life itself, there come problems and there come challenges just because of life. But then there come problems and there come other challenges that sometimes that can be caused by the choices or the mistakes that we make. And this is what happened, as I've said, along this journey. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me, if you will, of Acts chapter 27. The Bible says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them," Paul warned them, "and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and the ship, but also of our lives." Paul is given the centurion and the captains and the workmen on the ship a warning. But did they listen to this warning? No, they did not listen. The Bible says in verse number 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." He chose to listen to the master and the owner of the ship rather than listening to what Paul had to say. When Paul says that I perceive that some trouble, I'm paraphrasing what I just read, some trouble is going to happen. That should have been enough warning to say to the centurion, maybe we ought to wait a while. But the Bible says that he chose to listen to the master, the owner of the ship. So mistake number one that this centurion who was in charge of the prisoners on the ship made was that he neglected some good advice. How oftentimes when perhaps in our lives and years gone by, maybe even now, when we neglect some good advice and we go against what we have been advised not to do, and things don't turn out so well. I'm sort of reminded of another story in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 12. Had to do with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam being the king of Solomon who had come to the throne after Solomon died. The people, when Jeroboam, he had fled to Egypt, but they called for him to come back, and he came back with all of the congregation and came before Rehoboam and said to Rehoboam, your father made our burdens heavy. Would you please, I'm paraphrasing it, would you please make it lighter? Rehoboam said, well, go away for 3 days and come back, and I'll let you know what my decision is. And he consulted with the old men. And the old men said, in essence, make their burdens lighter. And they, if you serve them, they'll serve you. But the Bible says he forsook the counsel of the old men. And he went to the young men that had grown up with him. And they advised him just the opposite. No, don't make their burden lighter, but make it heavier. And he accepted their advice. And because of that, the kingdom was divided. So because of his neglecting good advice from the old men, he lost a kingdom of people that were all together. And it was divided. And eventually, of course, he would die later on down the line. But again, that just calls to our mind how we need to listen to good advice. The centurion didn't listen to good advice. And so the story goes on and says that the greater part or the more part basically agreed with the owner and the master of the ship. The majority of the others that were working on the ship said, let's sail. Well, as they go on and they continue to sail, sure enough, what Paul had said was going to happen, happened. And the Bible says that this storm was so turbulent until they all thought that they were going to lose their lives. But of course, Paul reassured them because an angel stood by him and told him that you're going to lose the ship, but you're not going to lose your life. But before he said that to them, he said in verse number 21, he said this. He said, but after long absence, that is the Bible says, after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. This is while the storm is going on. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have what? Hearken. You should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to gain this harm and this loss. Why didn't you listen, Paul is saying. I gave you some good advice. Why didn't you listen? How many times have we even said that to our children? Our mothers and fathers have said that to us. I know my mom has told me, John Ellis, why didn't you listen? Your head is too hard. So Paul says, why didn't you listen? I tried to warn you that trouble was going to come. You should have stayed where you were. But you listened to the master and the owner of the ship. Now, I don't know what the reason of the master and the owner of the ship had for continuing on. Perhaps it had something to do with economics. Because this was a cargo ship that carried cargo and carried these prisoners. And you know, in the business world, time means money. So I'm sure perhaps he was no doubt looking at, if we stay here, we're going to lose some time. We need to get on to where our destination is so that we can get back and maybe bring some cargo back from there, or at least get back to where we started, where we can pick up some more cargo and keep on going. So he probably, perhaps, was thinking about the economics of the situation. But sometimes safety is much better than money. There are people in our lives that are capable of advising us in things that are right and things that are proper. Parents who advise their children on life issues. People who have had long and successful marriages can advise someone else when they may be having problems. Those who have overcome certain struggles in their lives can perhaps advise other people what they did, how they survived the struggles that came in their lives. And this good advice can be helpful. And most of all, the Word of God is filled with advice and warnings. Paul said to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 through 12, he talked to them about things that the Israelites did coming through the wilderness that God was not pleased with, and how God destroyed these people for all of these sinful deeds that they were engaged in. And he says that these things were written for our admonition. They were written for our example. They were written to give us some advice, that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. But how many times we think perhaps in our lives, I can do it, I can get away with it. Maybe somebody else can't, but I can get away with it. God is no respecter of person. Eventually one day we're going to have to pay. We may get away today, but eventually we're going to have to pay for misdeeds in our lives. So we need to listen to the warnings that God's word teaches us about misdeeds and evil in our lives. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Paul said this to the church at Galatia. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He said, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the what? Flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So he's warning the church, or he was warning the church. And those scriptures are with us even this evening. Those warnings are for us. Don't be deceived. Whatever we sow, the Bible says, we're going to reap. So this centurion made a mistake by not listening to the advice that Paul gave. But then I said, also, another mistake was made. And that was by the more part, by the majority of the other seamen that was on the ship. Verse 12 said, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart this. How many times people go along with the majority, the more part? When it comes to pleasing God, the majority is always wrong. Did you hear me? When it comes to pleasing God, the majority is always wrong. I'm not talking about the majority in here. I'm talking about the majority of mankind is always wrong. Why do you say that? Because of what Matthew 7 says. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So the majority, when it comes to pleasing God, the majority is going to be wrong. We don't need to go with the majority. We need to stick with God's word. So the more part then said, yeah, we need to sail. Yeah, we need to sail. And so what happened? They sailed. And the storm came. Many lives have been ruined because of following the majority. In Exodus 23 and verse 2, the Bible says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. We need to, again, as I've said, if we know what's right, don't worry about what the majority say. Stand on what's right. Stand on our conviction of truth. If we're the only one, stand anyway. Don't worry about the more part. Because, again, the more part is going to always be wrong. We need to stand for what we know is right. So they made a mistake, a second mistake, by listening to what the more part said. The owner said, yes, let's go. The more part, the majority said, yes, let's go. And so they went. But what happened? As they went, a storm came. But the third mistake that was made, notice in verse number 13, the Bible says this, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. When the south wind blew softly, somebody says, that it's the quiet before the storm. So when the wind was blowing softly, they supposed that, well, everything is fine, so let's sail. Master and the owner, you were right. The majority said, yes, we were right. The wind is blowing softly, so let's go. I want to say to you that we can get to a point in our lives that we can start taking things for granted. Nothing hasn't happened yet, so it's not going to happen. This is a sunny day, so nothing is going to happen, and so we take things for granted, and before you know it, we may be into trouble. And this is what happened to these people. They set sail, and the winds came, and the storm came. Paul said this to the church at Thessalonica, talking about the coming of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in particular verse number 2, beginning, he said this, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, what happens? Then suddenly destruction cometh upon them. This same analogy is applied to those people, the centurion, the captain, or the owner of the ship, and the more part. It just sounded like it was just so peaceful. Perhaps the waves were just quivering. You know, it's time to sail. And they sail. But the storm came and tore the ship up. All because of some faulty supposition, supposing that it was all right to go. You know, Jesus' parents, earthly parents, had the same problem. You remember when they took him to Jerusalem in Luke chapter 2? The Bible says on their way back that they had traveled a whole day's journey, supposing that he was with them in the crowd. They knew he wasn't exactly right with them, but they just supposed, well, he's somewhere in the crowd. But when they started looking for him, they didn't find him. They made a terrible mistake by supposing. Again, we can make a terrible mistake in our lives by supposing. And so as they travel on, as I've said, that ship wrecked. But had they listened to Paul's advice at first, they would have never set sail. And they wouldn't have had that problem. I'm saying tonight as I close, let's listen to God. He'll keep us out of a whole lot of trouble. But even since we're in life as you live, as we are, we will have some trouble. But if we listen to God, he'll show us how to get through it. He may not show us how to get out of it, but he'll show us how to get through it because he'll go right through it with us. But when we mess up is when we try to take matters in our own hand and think that we have the answer, just like these people on the ship and that was in charge of the ship. They thought they had the answer. Paul, you're a prisoner. The centurion would say, perhaps, I'm a man in charge. Who are you to tell me something what to do? I don't care what position we hold. Somebody can tell us something. So let's listen to God. And let's not make mistakes like they made on this ship. By refusing to listen to what the Apostle Paul said, an inspired man of God, and by listening to the majority, and then by supposing that everything is all right. Let's know everything is all right. The only way we can know is by the Word of God. So I close tonight by saying, if you made some of these mistakes, as Brother Thomas says sometimes in some comments or maybe even in his prayer, that let's let these mistakes that we've made only serve to teach us so that we won't be able to make these same mistakes again. So I hope this life lesson tonight has been helpful to all of us. To try to, with all of our ability, with all our might, to listen to God. Because he's the great advisor. Listen to God, and everything will be all right. If you're here tonight and need to respond, while heaven waits and while mercy lingers, while we're standing and while we're singing, would you come?
There's a fountain pre-filled for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste.